Give me some of those. I've got it. The bag was cutting into Mara's fingers. She was carrying too much, and everyone could see it. Still, when her friend reached for the weight, Mara held on tighter. I said I've got it. Nothing dramatic happened. No argument. No slam door. Just a woman surrounded by people who loved her, insisting that love had nothing to do with her. Have you ever done that? Offered help before anyone asked, then refused it the moment it came toward you? Welcome to Why I Love, the podcast where we explore the truth that love begins within. Inspired by the teaching of Jesus Christ, love your neighbor as yourself, we ask what it means to treat ourselves with the same compassion we hope to offer others. Today, we are talking about receiving love, not giving it, receiving it. Receiving a compliment without arguing, accepting help without apologizing for needing it, letting encouragement reach you instead of explaining why it cannot possibly be true. Take a breath. You do not have to prove anything while you listen. Love within, love without. Let's begin the journey.
Why can kindness feel easier to give than to receive? We say, "Let me help you," almost automatically, but when someone says, "Let me help you," we answer, "No, I'm fine." Someone tells us, "You handled that beautifully," and we reply, "It was nothing." Someone says, "You matter to me," and we wonder what they want. Someone offers to listen, and we start preparing an apology for taking up their time. Giving can feel safe because we control the exchange. We choose the timing, we choose the amount. We remain useful, capable, and just far enough away to avoid being seen too clearly. Receiving is different. It lets another person notice that we have needs. For some of us, that feels less like comfort and more like an alarm. Maybe help once came with criticism or control. Maybe you learned that being strong earned approval while asking for care led to disappointment. Maybe you became dependable because dependence did not feel safe. If that is part of your story, your hesitation is understandable. You are not morally failing because an old protective habit is still active. But protection can outlive the danger. A door that once kept trouble out can eventually keep love from coming in. So the question is not, how do I force myself to accept everything? The question is, how do I become open to what is trustworthy without abandoning my wisdom or my boundaries? That is what we are going to practice together.
Let's go back to Mara. She was the person people called when something needed doing. If a friend moved apartments, Mara brought boxes. If a relative was overwhelmed, Mara rearranged her schedule. She remembered the details other people forgot, the food allergy, the missing key, the form that needed to be submitted before Friday. Her generosity was sincere. Helping was how she said, "You matter to me." But being helped made her uncomfortable. When people thanked her, she waved them away. When someone praised her work, she listed the mistakes. When she was tired, she became busier. When she felt lonely, she found another problem to solve. One winter, Mara was coordinating a community event. On the morning it opened, she was carrying boxes through a narrow doorway while checking messages on her phone. She had skipped breakfast. She had slept badly. She was also waiting for a private call from her sister, who had been going through a difficult week. A friend saw the boxes digging into her arms. "Give me some of those. I've got it." "You're carrying six." "I said, I've got it." Her friend stepped back. Mara carried everything inside, answered three questions, fixed a seating problem, and missed the call from her sister. That evening, Mara called back. Her sister answered, but her voice was quiet. "I didn't need you to fix anything," she said. "I wanted you to let me in." Mara sat down on the edge of her bed. The room was still. For the first time, she noticed that she had spent the day surrounded by people and had never once let anyone know what she needed. She had mistaken being needed for being known. Those are not the same thing. Being needed can reassure us that we have value. Being known asks us to be present without performing. It allows another person to meet the tired version of us, the uncertain version, and the version that does not have an answer. Mara began listening for the phrases she used to keep people away. "It's okay. You have enough going on. I should be able to handle this. I don't want to bother you." Each sentence sounded considerate, but together, they built a wall. The wall did not say, "I don't love you." It said, "Your love cannot reach me.
Maybe you know that wall. Maybe you remember everyone's birthday but feel awkward when someone remembers yours. Maybe you can sit with a hurting friend for hours, but when your own heart aches, you call it not a big deal. You may look selfless from the outside and still feel profoundly alone inside.
Mara's problem was not that she gave too much. Her problem was that nobody could tell what she needed. That distinction matters. Generosity is beautiful, but giving can become a hiding place. We can stay busy serving others so we never have to risk being served. We can call it independence when it is really fear wearing a very organized schedule. And we should be careful here. Receiving does not mean trusting everyone. It does not mean accepting every offer, ignoring manipulation, or allowing a favor to become a claim on your life. You may ask questions. You may take time. You may say no. You may accept help from a trusted person and decline help from someone who uses kindness to control you. Open hands are not helpless hands. They are discerning hands. Healthy receiving sounds like, "Thank you, I would appreciate that." It can also sound like, "Thank you for offering, but I'm going to handle this another way." Both responses can be honest. Neither requires shame. The teaching to love your neighbor as yourself carries a quiet challenge. We often remember the neighbor and overlook the self, but you are also one of the people entrusted to your care. If you believe your needs are embarrassing, you may become impatient with the needs of others. If you believe rest must be earned, you may quietly judge anyone who needs rest. If you think love must be purchased through usefulness, every relationship can start to feel like a transaction. Self-contempt is not humility. Excluding yourself from compassion does not make your compassion more pure. You are not outside the circle of care. Grace is not a prize awarded to the person who has exhausted themselves most completely. It is kindness we did not manufacture and cannot earn through perfect performance. That does not remove responsibility. It gives us enough safety to become honest about responsibility. A person can apologize and still receive compassion. A person can have work to do and still rest. A person can be accountable and still be loved. The goal is not to make another person responsible for your entire identity. The goal is to stop pretending that you have no need of anyone. Mara's sister was not asking Mara to solve her life. She was asking for relationship, and relationship requires movement in both directions.
There is another fear underneath resistance: obligation. Someone buys lunch, and we immediately calculate what we owe. Someone compliments us, and we suspect a request is coming. Someone offers an hour of their time, and we feel we must repay them with an hour, a favor, and perhaps a permanent place on our emergency contact list. Sometimes that fear is wise. Some people do give in order to control. Pay attention to patterns. Notice how a person responds when you set a boundary. A genuine gift does not require you to surrender your freedom. But not every kindness is a contract. The person who taught you to read, the nurse who checked your temperature, the stranger who held the elevator when your hands were full. Life has always reached us through other people. We are not self-made in the way we sometimes imagine. Someone shared knowledge. Someone made a meal. Someone stayed when we were difficult to understand. Someone repaired a road, grew food, cleaned a room, or created music that gave us courage. To admit that we have received is not to become small. It is to become accurate. Gratitude is not indebtedness. Gratitude says, "I recognize what you have given." Indebtedness says, "You now own a part of me." You can say thank you without promising what you cannot offer. You can accept a ride and still choose your destination. You can receive encouragement without making that person responsible for your self-worth. Love is not a ledger. When every gift becomes a debt, both people become anxious. The giver wonders whether the gift landed. The receiver worries about repayment. Gratitude releases the exchange from that tension. It says, "This mattered. I received it. I will let it nourish me." A relationship also does not need to be perfectly balanced every day. There will be seasons when one person has more strength, time, or capacity. Later, the direction may change. Healthy love has a rhythm. Offer, receive. Speak, listen. Reach out, make room. If we only exhale, we eventually collapse. Receiving is part of love's breathing.
So how do we practice this without turning it into another performance? Start small. The next time someone gives you a compliment, pause before you correct them. Let the words exist for one breath. Then say, "Thank you. I appreciate you noticing." You do not have to decide that you are wonderful in every possible way. You are simply allowing another person's perspective to exist without immediately putting it on trial. If someone offers practical help, notice your first reaction. Does your chest tighten? Do you hear, "I should be able to do this myself"? Instead of answering automatically, name what is being offered. You're offering to carry this. You're offering an hour. You're offering to listen. Then ask three quiet questions. Is this person trustworthy? Is the offer clear? Can I accept it without violating my values or boundaries? If the answer is yes, try, "Yes, that would help." Not, "You really don't have to." Not, "I'm sorry to be a burden." Just, "Yes, that would help." If the answer is no, decline honestly. Receiving is not measured by how many offers you accept. It is measured by whether your response is truthful instead of automatic. The open hands practice has three movements. Pause and notice the gift, accept without minimizing it, and respond with gratitude rather than obligation. You can use it with a meal, a compliment, a listening ear, a prayer, or a simple invitation to rest. Try these sentences. "I'm having a harder day than I expected. I could use some help with this one part. That encouragement reached me. I'm not ready to talk about everything, but I don't want to pretend I'm fine." These are not demands. They are doors left slightly open. And you do not have to open those doors with everyone. Begin with one trustworthy person. A small act of receiving is still an act of courage. If prayer or spiritual encouragement belongs in your life, you might let someone pray for you without pretending to have every answer. You can receive care while still carrying questions. Grace does not need to be forced in order to be real.
Mara did not become comfortable overnight. The next time her friend offered help, Mara still felt the old resistance. She noticed the tightness in her chest. She asked a few clear questions. Was the friend truly available? Was anything expected in return? Could Mara accept the help and still remain responsible for her own decisions? The answers were yes, no, and yes. So she said, "Yes, I would appreciate that." The sentence felt vulnerable. It also felt like relief. A few days later, someone praised her leadership. Mara started to dismiss it, then stopped. "Thank you," she said. "I worked hard on it, and I'm glad it helped." She did not claim she had done everything alone. She did not pretend the event was perfect. She simply stopped erasing her contribution. Later that week, Mara called her sister again. This time, when her sister asked how she was doing, Mara did not offer a solution or change the subject. "I'm more tired than I've admitted," she said. Her sister was quiet for a moment. Then she replied, "You don't have to make this easy for me." Mara laughed, and then she cried. Nothing about that conversation made her weak. It made the relationship more honest. Over time, receiving did not make Mara less generous. It made her generosity cleaner. She could help because she wanted to contribute, not because she needed to be indispensable. She could name her limits before resentment named them for her. People no longer saw only the capable version of Mara. They began to know the tired version, the uncertain version, the grateful version, and the growing version. She became less impressive in some moments and more present in nearly all of them. That is one of the gifts of receiving. It allows love to become specific. Admiration can stay at a distance. Accompaniment requires us to be real enough to walk beside one another.
Before we close, try one small experiment today. When someone says something kind, do not add a disclaimer. Say thank you and allow the moment to remain intact. When you need assistance, choose one low-risk task and make the request specific. Would you be willing to review this one page? Could you sit with me for 10 minutes? Would you carry this while I unlock the door? Then let the yes be a yes. You do not need to apologize every few seconds or prove that you are still in charge. You can participate in receiving without taking the gift back. You might also tell a trusted person, "Receiving is difficult for me.
If I dismiss your encouragement, please remind me to pause. You do not have to convince me for an hour. That creates teamwork without making them responsible for your entire self-worth. And notice what happens afterward. Do you feel exposed, relieved, suspicious, grateful? None of those reactions need to be judged. They are information. Now, if you are somewhere safe and able to be still, place your hands open in front of you. You are not demanding anything. You are not surrendering your discernment. You are making room. Where do you resist care most strongly? Compliments? Practical help? Emotional support? Rest? Prayer? Affection? The chance to be celebrated? What story do you attach to needing someone? That you are weak? Selfish? Difficult? That you will owe too much? That people will discover you are less capable than they thought? Where might that story have begun, and is it still telling the truth? You do not have to blame anyone in order to question a belief. Think of one person who has tried to move toward you with kindness. What did they offer? Have you allowed them to know that it mattered? If it is safe and appropriate, send a simple message. I've been thinking about the way you supported me. I don't always know how to receive help, but your kindness mattered. No grand promise, no emotional repayment. Just let the truth travel from your heart to theirs. What might change if you stopped giving from exhaustion? What might become possible if you ask directly instead of hoping people would guess? How might receiving make your love more honest? Stay with that for a moment.
Here is what I hope you remember. Receiving love is not a failure of independence. It is an honest acknowledgement that life is shared. We give and we receive. We carry what belongs to us, and sometimes we allow a trustworthy person to lift one corner of what has become too heavy. You can keep your boundaries and still accept care. You can remain accountable and still receive compassion. You can be imperfect and still welcome something good. The open hands practice is simple. Pause, notice what is being offered, accept without minimizing it, and let gratitude guide your response. Grace is not earned by exhaustion. You do not have to collapse before you deserve a hand. You do not have to become perfect before encouragement is allowed to reach you. Sometimes the courageous sentence is not, "I can handle it." Sometimes it is, "Yes, that would help." Sometimes it is, "Thank you, I will let that kindness reach me." Love who you are and watch the world change.
Thank you for joining me today on Why I Love. If this conversation brought someone to mind, someone who gives endlessly but struggles to receive, share this episode with them. And if you found value here, subscribe to Why I Love for more reflections on self-understanding, spiritual wisdom, and authentic connection. Before you go, choose one small act of receiving. Accept the compliment. Ask for the help. Let yourself rest. Tell someone their care mattered. Open your hands, just a little, and notice what becomes possible. Thank you for being here. Until next time, keep choosing love. Remember, love who you are and watch the world change.